Bibles, please turn to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 20. In your Scofield Bible, page 416. 1 Kings, chapter 20, beginning with the 23rd verse, we'll read responsively through verse 28. 1 Kings, chapter 20, page 416, reading responsively verses 23 through 28. And let's stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. And the servants of the king of Syria said unto him, Their gods are gods of the hills, therefore they were stronger than we. But let us fight against them in the plain, and surely we shall be stronger than they. And do this thing, take the kings away, every man out of his place, and put captains in their rooms, and number thee an army, like the army that thou hast lost, horse for horse and chariot for chariot. We will fight against them in the plain, and surely we shall be stronger than they. And he hearkened unto their voice, and did so. And it came to pass at the return of the year that Ben-Hadad, the Syrians, and went up to Aphek to fight against Israel. And the children of Israel were numbered and were all present, and went against them, and the children of Israel pitched before them like two little flocks of kids. But the Syrians filled the country. And there came a man of God, and spake unto the king of Israel, and said, Thus saith the Lord, because the Syrians have said, The Lord is God of the hills, but he is not God of the valleys, therefore I will deliver all this great multitude into thine hand, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Let's pray. And Father, we thank you for this good day, for our great church, for the privilege that is ours Sunday after Sunday, week after week, year after year, of having access to the things that are provided by this great church and its ministries. Thank you for our preacher. We pray that you'd certainly use him and bless him today and help our hearts to be open, our minds to be alert, and give us what you've got for us and give us the ability to please thee, the desire to do thy will. In Jesus' name, amen.
There are some scriptures that when you teach them or preach them, they become alive. There are other scriptures that when you just read them, they live. I remember not long ago, Brother Colston, you read some scripture up here, I think it was. Was that you? Thanksgiving service, Brother Colston read some scripture. And the people were saying amen almost like it was a sermon, because the scripture just spoke. And how about this one? There came a man of God and spake unto the king of Israel and said, Thus saith the Lord, because the Syrians have said, The Lord is the God of the hills, but he is not the God of the valleys. Therefore will I deliver this great multitude into thine hand, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. I want to speak this morning on the subject, He's the God of the hills and the valleys. He's the God of the hills and the valleys. Our Heavenly Father, bring this morning down to this place a sense of reality of the Christian faith. Make our Savior real to us. Make Him practical. And help us to sense that it's real. It's real. My God is real. And the truth of my God liveth forever. Bless us today. Speak to our hearts. Amen. Syria was coming to war against Israel. Servants came to the king of Syria and said these words, something like this: Israel's God is only a God of the hills. They said if Israel fights a battle on the hills, in the mountains, she wins. But Israel's God does not work in the valleys. what they were saying was that the God of Israel was basically concerned about the mountaintop battles and not the battles in the valley. So they said, Israel's God is not a God of the hills. So the servant said to the king of Israel, of Syria, one of the most ruthless men that ever lived, Ben-Hadad, they said, let's fight them in the valley. So what they did, they got a mighty army, and you'll find it described here, and they were in the valley to fight against Israel. The Bible says that the armies of Israel looked like a couple of flocks of kids, or little young animals, if you please, or young lambs, compared to the mighty army of Syria. And there they fought in the battle in the valley, because Assyria had said that the God of Israel is a God of the mountain or the hills, but not a God of the valleys. Boy, were they ever surprised. The man of God came to Israel and said, because the Syrians have said that our God is a God of the hills, but not a God of the valleys, this is what's going to happen. And boy, whatever did happen. The God of the hills, ladies and gentlemen, was also the God of the valley. That God that helped them fight on the top of the peaks is the same God that helped them fight in the depth of the valleys. And the God of the hills became the God of the valley. 127,000 Syrians were killed. Bible says 100,000 were killed in the battle, and a roof of some kind or a wall fell on 27,000 others, and they also were killed, making a total of 127,000 Syrians who were killed in the valley. And boy, were they ever shocked. Those that were killed especially were shocked. And were they ever shocked. And this little army, listen to me, sailors, look right this way. This little army looked like two little flocks of kids and little young animals compared to a mighty army that looked like a horde of beasts that came from Syria. What God is saying here is that God plus anybody equals the majority. You see? I mean, God plus one person equals a majority. And God plus this little army of Israelites that looked like a couple of flocks of kids was sufficient to defeat the Syrian army. Now I want to tell you something. You don't have to be defeated. You don't have to be defeated. God plus you equals a victory. God plus you equals a majority. God plus you makes you the prohibitive favorite to win in whatever it is. And so I'm going to say this morning that our God is not only a God of the hills, and certainly He is. God loves to rejoice with you when you're on the mountaintop. But that same God that's with you on the mountaintop is also with you in the valley. And that same victory that you can enjoy on the mountaintop, you can also enjoy in the valley. Now I want to say three things this morning. First thing I want to say is this. Satan says the same thing today. Sailor, sit up straight. Don't take a nap. Sit up. Put your head up. Sit up straight. I want you to listen to what I've got to say. We're glad you're here, but the reason we want you here is to hear what I've got to say. I'm going to beat the stuffings out of every one of you after the service is over if you don't listen to what I've got to say. If you don't like what I'm saying, beat me out in the alley after the service. If I'm not there within 5 minutes, go ahead by yourself without me. But I'm saying Satan says the same thing today. Satan comes today and he says, attack them in the valleys. God is a God of great revival. But Satan says God is not a God of the valley. God is a God of great victories and wonderful ecstatic experiences. I feel so sorry for this charismatic hodgepodge we have today. All it talks about is God is a God of the mountains. Oh, you give to God, especially you give to me, God through me. And you send me, and I'll send you this book and this record and all this stuff, and everything will turn out. Send me your seed offering, and then you'll get rich. That's garbage. It's foolishness. Our God is not only a God that's on the mountaintop. Our God's a God of the valleys. But I want to say this. God, the devil says, attack God's people in the valley. Now, don't miss this. Here's the sermon. He does not say, attack God's people by the valleys. The being in the valley is not always Satan's attack.
So what the devil does is this. He doesn't say attack my people with a valley or by a valley. He says attack my people while they're in the valley. See, the Israelites, you got to get in the valley. You can't travel from mountain to mountain without going down the valley. And you've got to have a valley before you can get to the next mountaintop. So what Satan says is this. He says attack God's people while they're in the valley. Attack them while they're in the valley of illness. Attack them when the word comes that it's malignant. Attack them then. Now, the malignancy is not always the attack. The attack, Satan comes while you're in the malignancy and says, get depressed and get defeated and turn back and get bitter against God. But he attacks you in the valley. Satan comes while you're in the valley of illness. He comes to people like me and Mrs. Hiles. We heard our daughter had a tough case of lupus, and she's suffering like she's never suffered in her life before. And the devil comes and says, attack them now. Attack them. Attack them with discouragement. Attack them with depression. Attack them while they're in the valley. Satan comes and says, attack them while they're in the valley of unemployment. It's Christmas time. They've lost their job. They're down in the valley of unemployment. Attack them now, the devil says. He calls the imps out of hell and says, attack them now. Make them turn their backs on God now. Make them quit now while they're in the valley of unemployment. Now, they're upset because they can't provide for their children what other folks can provide for their children. And they're down in the valley. The devil says, that's the time to get them. Their God is a God of the hills, but he's not the God of the valleys. He comes and he says, attack them in the valley of attack. They're in the valley of being attacked. I can tell you about a man, one of the finest men in this church, and you won't know who he is, or I wouldn't tell you this story. But he was under attack. I mean vicious attack from people that had decided to destroy him. And he was down in the valley. Now, while he was in the valley, the devil attacked him. And he turned back. And he couldn't come into church. Good night, while you're in the valley, that's when you ought to come to church. That's when you need church the most. And so he could come into church. And before long, he started smoking. And before long, he began to drink. And now then, he's in other sins. Why? Tell you why. Because the devil said, get him while he's in the valley. And that's what the devil does. The devil comes to you while you're in the valley of illness and says, we'll get you now. The devil says to his little demons in hell, you come to them, go to my people, the Lord's people, while they're in the valley of unemployment, or while they're in the valley of attack. Then he says, you get them while they're in the valley of divorce. You get them while people are criticizing them. In most many cases, the person divorced had no cause for it at all. Was not the reason for it at all. And he comes to you while you're in the valley of divorce and says, the devil says, attack him now or attack her now. He comes while you're in the valley of sin. Now I want to say this. It doesn't matter why you're in the valley. See, God is still a God of the valley, no matter why you're in the valley. If you're in the valley because of illness, God is still the God of the valley. If you're in the valley because of disease, God is still a God of the valley. If you're in the valley because of unemployment, God is still a God of the valley. If you're in the valley because of sin, God is still a God of the valley. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, he said. And so the devil comes and says, you get them while they're in the valley of sin. Or he comes and says, while they're in the valley of death. They found their little boy in the bed, dead this morning. And the devil says, get him now. Attack him now. They're in the valley. And their God is not a God of the valley. He's a God of the hills. Sure, they can make it fine because their God is with them when the baby's well. But when the baby is gone, you find that little body, as they described to me this morning before the service, that little white body, and the little hands were cold and milk coming out of that little mouth, and they held the little baby. God, the devil says, get him now! Get him now! Their God is not a God of the valley. He comes when we're in the valley of a broken heart. A daughter is pregnant. A son has broken your heart. Something has come in your life that brings shame to your name and your family name. And the devil says, get them now while they're in the valley. He comes while you're in the valley of depression and tells his little demons to get you while you're in the valley of depression. He comes while you're in the valley of discouragement and he says, get them. He says, their God is not a God of the valley. Tell them to quit. Tell that college student to quit. She's discouraged. Tell her to quit. That's what the devil said. And when you quit, you're obeying the voice of the devil. Tell that young man, pardon me, that young male, bear, pardon me again, that young sissy, that young coward, that young turncoat, tell him to quit. He's having a tough time financially. The devil says, get him while he's down. Get him while he's in the valley. Tell him to quit. Their God is not a God of the valleys, the devil says. Get them while they're in the valley. Get them to make lifetime decisions that will affect their entire life. That will ruin their life. Get them while they're in the valley, the devil says, to make decisions. Look, when you're down, is no time to make a decision. If you ever decide to quit, quit on top side. Don't quit on the bottom side. But the devil says, get them while they're down. Their God is not a God of the valley. He says, get them bitter while they're in the valley. Get them bitter. Get them against God. Or get them to give up. Or get them to go into sin. Point number two. Hold it. Hold it. Point number two. Guess what happened? Here the armies of Ben-Hadad organized to fight against the little nation of Israel. And this mighty, treacherous, ferocious, ruthless army comes down upon Israel and says, we'll get them in the valley. And down in the valley, they're lined up, army against army, in the valley. On this side, the mighty army of Ben-Hadad. On this side, the little army of Israel, like two little flocks of kids. Wait a minute. Hold it. Enter the man of God. Enter the man of God. Here comes the man of God. And the man of God walks in and says, I got some good news for you. King of Israel, I got some good news for you. Israelites, I've got some good news for you. That little army there looks like a couple of flocks of kids. I got some good news for you. Enter the man of God. And here's what he said. Our God is not only a God of the hills. Our God is the God of the valleys. I know what I'm talking about. And enter the man of God this morning. I come to those of you today who have disease and you're in the valley and say to you, our God is a God of the valley. I come to those this morning who are unemployed in the valley of unemployment, and I say to you, as God's man, just like God's man came in 1 Kings chapter 20, our God is a God of the valley. I come to you today in the valley of attack, and I can tell you by testimony and by experience, our God is just not concerned about His people on a mountaintop. Our God is a God of the valley. By the way, that's the kind of friend I want to be. I want to be a friend of the valley. I don't want to be a mountaintop friend. I want to be a valley friend. I want to be like Jesus is. I want to stick by people when they're down in the valley, not just when they're on a mountaintop. Because it just may be they're on a mountaintop again, and I wish I'd stuck with them. It just may be they won't stay in the valley. Our God is a God of the valley. I come to say to those this morning who are in the valley of sin, it's your fault. You chose to go down in the valley. Nobody pushed you in the valley. Nobody made you go in the valley. You're in the valley because of sin. Hallelujah! God is a God of the valley. The same God that saved you will reclaim you and use you again. I want to say this morning to those of you in the valley of death, someone dear to you has been taken. One who shared with you as heirs of the grace of God in bringing life into the world has been taken. The one who sat across the table from you in the kitchen. The one to whom you gave birth from your own body and suffered the travail into the jaws of death itself to give birth to that one. And that one's been taken. And you walk out in a little place and you see a marker there where your husband's name is written, or where your wife's name is written, or where your mother's name is written, or where your father's name is written, or where your baby's name is written. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, enter the man of God. The man of God speaks. God is a God of the valleys. I speak to those this morning, the valley of a broken heart, and I announce to you that God is the God of the valleys. I speak this morning to those of you who are depressed, the valley of depression. God is a God of the valleys. I speak to those of you in the valley of discouragement. God is a God of the valleys. I know by personal experience, for 52 years I've been a Christian. For 42 years I've been a pastor of a New Testament Baptist church. For 44 years, I've been a licensed preacher. For 42 years, an ordained preacher of the gospel. I know by personal experience. I have seen a few valleys in my time, but bless God, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. Thou art with me, he said. Thou art with me. And my God said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Oh, I love that scripture where God said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, because there are five negatives there. In the English language, a double negative is bad. You say, I ain't got no money? It's bad in English. True statement, but it's a bad English. That's a double negative. I have not done that. I have not got to do that yet. That's bad English. But in the Greek, a double negative was emphasizing something. It was the capital letters. It was bold print. It was underlined. And God said, I will never, not never, no never, or ever leave you nor forsake you. That means that those of you this morning who are wondering how long you have left, the chemotherapy has already been taken all up. How long you have left? Let your preacher tell you, I know what I'm talking about. I have been through the valley time and time again. Our God, hallelujah, our God is a God of the valley. Not only that, not only by personal experience do I know, but I know because I've seen him in the valley with other people all these many years. I've seen him. I've stood beside people. And the doctor told them it was malignant and terminal. And I've seen the God of the valley. I've stood beside them when they heard the news that their little baby had leukemia. And I've seen them. And I testify that our God was the God of the valley. I've stood by people under severe attack. And by the way, for these years, I've stood by my friends. I don't care where they are. Brother Hugh, my friend, I don't care where you are. We're together. We're together. Why? Because I want to be like God. I want to be a God, a friend of the valley, not just a friend of the mountaintop. I've seen the broken hearts. And I testify that our God is a God of the valleys. I've seen the broken homes, and I testify that our God is a God of the valleys. I've seen people under attack, and I testify that our God is a God of the valleys. I've seen people discouraged and depressed, but I testify that our God is a God of the valley. Now, there's some of you this morning on mountaintop. Everything is top-notch. Here's what we say. We say, boy, God sure is good to me. God sure has been good to me this year. We have a home paid for, a house paid for. We're all in good health. And I have a good job. And we have a good car to drive. Boy, God's been good to me this year. One fellow said to me, he said, God is still on his throne. He's been good to me. Let me serve notice to you. God was on his throne when Paul was in a Mamertine prison. God was on his throne when the Hebrew children were cast into the fiery furnace. God was on his throne when Daniel was cast into the lion's den. God was on his throne when Joseph was in jail. God was on his throne when John the Baptist had his head cut off. God was on his throne. God's on his throne when you're employed or unemployed. God's on his throne whether you're well or whether you're sick. God's on his throne whether you're laughing or whether you're weeping. And I want to tell you this morning, you don't have to be alone. You choose to be alone, but our God is the God of the valley. Comes this morning and says, let me be with you in the valley. And I want to say, give you five brief words of exhortation, those of you in the valley today. Number one, don't stop. Did you ever dawn on you that if you stop, you stay in the valley? You go forward, you've got to climb a mountaintop. You'll be on top. Mountains ahead. You stay where you are. Listen to me. Listen. You stop. Don't stop. Don't turn back. Don't stop. Boy, I remember, and this is an old story to many of you, but I love to think about it. I first came to the First Baptist Church of Hammond. Brother, we entered into a battle. I want you to know, a battle royal. And a lot of folks didn't want me to stay. I'm sure you are amazed if that could be possible. But a lot of folks didn't want me to stay. And we had a battle. And right in the middle of that battle, I was thinking about turning back. I really was. I was giving some thought to quitting. They got a petition up, said, sign this petition if you want Hiles to go back to Texas. I found it and signed it. I wanted Hiles to go back to Texas. And right in the middle of that battle, I went down to Baptist Bible College in Springfield, Missouri. Pardon the expression. there was no Howells Anderson College then. Dr. G.B. Vick asked me, he was president of the college. He said, "Dr. Howells, would you go down to Baptist Bible College? We'll give you the whole student body for a whole week, and we'll dismiss classes." I never heard anything like that in my life. I went down to Springfield, Missouri. I taught, and I taught again, and I preached every morning. And that night, preached somewhere also. And they just didn't have classes that week. All they had was Howells. And that's enough. But anyway, shortly after I got there, old Dr. Noel Smith, and he's in heaven now, but I'll tell you, Noel Smith, I'll tell you who reminds me of Noel Smith. Bill Grady. Noel Smith had one of the most brilliant minds I've ever seen. In that respect, he does not remind me of Bill Grady. But Noel Smith was an older Bill Grady, an abrupt kind of a fellow. Now, I'm not criticizing Bill, but you know Bill. And Noel Smith had a pen. Oh, my soul. He could slice you to pieces with that pen. Noel Smith, Bill is tender and kind. Noel Smith was, but he never showed it. He walked up to me when I was the first day I was there. He said, "Brother Howells?" "Yes, sir." By the way, back in those days, I was 33 years old. He said, "Brother Howells, I'd like to take you out to lunch while you're here." I said, "All right." He said, "How about Friday at noon?" I thought that'd be good. I said, "It'd be fine." He picked me up Friday at noon. He didn't say hello. He didn't say, "How are you?" He didn't say, "We're glad to have you here." He didn't say boo. We drove to the restaurant silently. We got to the restaurant, the Rock Motel or something restaurant, and on Kearney Street there in Springfield. And we got out. We ate. He said he wanted to take me out to eat. That's literally what he had in mind, just to eat. He didn't ask me to take me out to talk. We just sat there. I thought he was mad. Noel Smith was always mad. But when he finished eating, they gave the check. He paid the lady. He stood up. He said, "Sit still." I sat there. He stood up. It was a booth. He stood up at the end of the booth, looked at me. "Brother Howells," he said, "I brought you here just to tell you one word about your work in Hammond. One word." Now bear in mind, I was right in the middle of the battle. I said, "What is it, Dr. Smith?" He said, "This is it." He took his hand and slammed that table till water and iced tea spilled and said, "Stay!" And turned and walked off. Best sermon I ever heard. You know why? Because it just lasted a few seconds. I bet you'd like me to preach that sermon sometime here, wouldn't you? Stay! That's all. Stay! And that's what I say to you this morning. I say, don't turn back. Stay in the battle. Keep on going. Stay! Any yellow coward can turn back. Second advice I'll give you this morning is that don't go back. Not only keep going and stay on the march, but don't go back. Don't go back where you were. "Oh, but I tell you what, I miss where I was." It's not like it was when you were there. Everything changes. It's not like it was then. Everything changes. You can't go back to where it used to be because where you used to be is not there anymore. I mean, the same tree may be there, but it's different. Nothing's like it was. Your home church has changed. Your family's changed. Your friends have other occupations now. Don't turn back. Number three, take it. Take it. I told the college students this one day. I've used this guy's illustration here, but I don't think in this pulpit I've ever used it exactly like this. Gene Fulmer, one of my heroes. You don't know. Most of you don't know Gene Fulmer from Admiral Fox, but Gene Fulmer, one of my heroes. How many know who Gene Fulmer was? Gene Fulmer was a prize fighter. A boxer. He was just the opposite of Sugar Ray Leonard. He was as crude a fighter as you've ever seen in your life. His defense was like this. He didn't dance. He didn't. Don't let that scare you, folks. Don't let it scare you. I'm better dancer than I'm fighter. But Gene Fulmer, what did he do? What could Gene Fulmer do? He kept on coming in. You couldn't knock that fellow off his feet. You hit him and hit him and hit him and hit him, and you couldn't knock him off his feet. You couldn't do it. You should have seen his nose. His nose looked like a pancake. His ears looked like two heads of lettuce on either side of his head. Ugliest man you ever saw in your life. He'd been beaten up. All Gene Fulmer could do was take it. Now, I don't believe in boxing. I think it ought to be outlawed, but until it is outlawed, I'm going to watch everyone I can. I've seen Gene Fulmer back in those days. I've seen him in round one, the guy hits him with everything he's got. And round two, the guy does it again. And round three, again. And round four. Along about round five, Gene Fulmer had been hit with everything but the ring post. And all of a sudden, the guy's punches started to lose their zip. The guy's worn out. You hit a fellow 500 times and you can't knock him down. Your arms get tired. And I've seen those fellows come in there and gone. So what happened? Oh, all Gene Fulmer had done is take it. He hadn't used his arms yet. And Gene Fulmer, bloody, beaten, would start fighting. And then he'd win. Now listen to me. The devil's gonna run out of punches after a while. I mean, the devil's gonna use all the punches he's got. After a while, he'd use everything he's got on you. Now, if you can just stay in there till he's finished, you can knock the dickens. I mean, knock the stuffings out of him then. And you might even get the dickens too. But you can get him then. But the tragedy is you can't take it. You haven't got what it takes. Take it. Look at the devil square in the face and say, "Do your best, Buster, because your arm's gonna get tired after a while, and I'm gonna beat the stuffings out of you then." Take it. Take it. Take it. Take it, Israel. Take it. Our God is a God of the valley, and He'll take you back on a mountaintop someday. Take it. I said, number one, don't stop. Number two, don't go back. Number three, take it. Number four, keep on going forward. Just keep on going forward. And number five, when you get to the next mountaintop, climb. Climb. Brother, you'll get back up there where the air is crisp and the view is beautiful, and God will put His arms around you and say, "I'm proud of you." And you'll look to God and say, "Thank you, thank you, thank you that you're the God not only of the hills, but you're the God of the valleys." And a crowd like that, I told the couple this morning who came to the office, Yogi and his wife is with us. They walked in, and I hugged them. And they sat down on the sofa in my office, and I said, "Now's the time for you to prove the truth of all your preachers preached." And I'm seeing people all over this auditorium shake their heads like that this morning, because you've been in the valley. Some of you in the valley now. I said, "Now's the opportunity that you have to prove that what I've been preaching all these years is true." That's one reason why. Maybe I'm a little glad that I've had to spend a few years in the valley myself. Because I can walk up to those of you in the valley and say, "I've been there. And I know that God is not only a God of the hills, but God is a God of the valley." Shall we pray?